Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere in the Odyssey app. It is 308, 48 degrees here on this Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. How's everybody doing today? Halfway through the week, hump day as we like to call it, on the downslope. Hopefully everybody's feeling all right. Not a bad day out today. 48 degrees. It's supposed to be up tomorrow, I believe, right? Let me look at the weather here real quick. Yeah, tomorrow we're looking at the 70s. And Friday, 65. We're good. And then the weekend will be the weekend. You're not working, hopefully, and that's all that matters. We could deal with the weather. We'll see. Well, we had some special elections yesterday. We had some judicial elections in Wisconsin, the big one there. And there were also some other things that happened in Wisconsin that we could talk about. It's interesting how, you know, both sides will spin it the way they need to spin it. And it's pretty much the same way you look at it. It's funny how the Democrats will point out how much Elon Musk threw into it and the support here in Wisconsin, and they lost the race. And it just goes to show, listen, they both spent the same amount of money in Wisconsin. When you break it down, there was about $90 million thrown into that race. I have the breakdown for you. And, you know, but it's okay when one side does it and the other side doesn't. There were two special elections down in Florida for Matt Gaetz's seat and Waltz's seat. And one of them there, again, we want to talk about finances. Democrats spent $10 million and lost by 14 points. The Randy Fine against Josh Wheel down there in that campaign, and it turned out to be about 56.7% to 42.7% in the election there. But again, this was a seat that was held by a Republican, so it's no gain, no loss. But they really tried to get one. Again, Democrats spent about $10 million for this local seat and losing it. And you also had the Florida House District 1, which I believe was Waltz's seat, where you had Petronas versus Valmont. And again, that was a 57% to a 42.2% victory down there. Again, they held it with the Republican seat. Nothing, I mean, these are both very red areas of Florida. There was no real surprises to expect down there. One of the bigger things, and this is the Wisconsin one that a lot of people aren't talking about. And listen, as far as I'm concerned, this is a lot more important than the Supreme Court race that we're going to talk about in a minute. Wisconsin Issue 1, where voter ID, photo ID amendment, is now codified in their constitution, which means you will need to present voter ID, a photo state-issued ID, in order to register to vote and to vote. So that's a big win. This sets a precedent that could be used in other parts of the country. And again, it's state-specific because your state does, to the most part, define your voting laws. But this is a big deal. This is a big deal. So, you know, whichever way anyone wants to look at the Supreme Court race, and I understand that, you know, it's gerrymandering when one side does it, but the other side, it's righting the wrongs in political districting. No, it's both the same. It's the same in, if you look at it in both ways. And if you want to add to the illegal immigration aspect that has gerrymandered almost every inner city district across the nation, we could talk about that in depth as well. So that's a bigger issue for me. I mean, the Wisconsin Supreme Court really doesn't have a direct bearing on me. Yes, if they redefine congressional districts, does it have a nationwide implication? It does. But I would much rather have lost the Supreme Court race like we did and had this passed in Wisconsin Issue 1, where voter ID is now required and codified, which means unless they have a constitutional amendment removing it, no legislator can. It just cannot be an act of their legislation to change this rule. So I like that fact of it. And it's something that's really not being discussed there as a whole. Now, as far as the Susan Crawford winning the Wisconsin Supreme Court, she was the projected winner. The results were there. It was early on, you know, early on, with an estimated 45.9% of the votes being counted, she was up by 57.6% to where Schimmel only had 42.4%. So this way, with less than 50% of the vote in, it did not look good. And that's exactly what I posted last night, 17 hours ago, posting those results that Crawford had a 57.6% lead and Schimmel had a 42.4% lead. Now, you have to realize they have a liberal majority in this court already. So this was not a gain for them. They just held it. It would have been a huge win if Republicans could have took that. That's why it was worth taking a run at it. And again, it cost a lot more usually to take a seat that you don't have, to flip a seat another party. And that's why a lot of money was spent in this. But when you want to talk about the amount of money spent in it, you want to point fingers at Elon Musk for getting involved and all these other individuals for getting involved in it, with it just ignoring the Democrat side of that. And again, they both spent about the same amount. I would say Republicans probably spent anywhere from $4-5 to $8 million more through rough estimates that I'm getting. But if you look at it, Democrats spent about $40 to $45 million on this race. And they say in total, $90 million was spent on this race. So it's both sides. So to say one side tried to buy this race and not the other, no, one side spent a lot of money to try and flip this race, and the other side spent an equal amount of money, or just about the same amount of money, to hold that race, which I think says a lot more that the Democrats had to put so much effort into holding this case. And you'll say, well, the Republicans and Elon Musk and all these people spent all this money to try and flip it. Of course they had to hold it. No, not really. Not if you're not if you have the facts and the grounds and the like of the voter. You don't usually have to, but you did. So this was a toss-up when it came to just the amount of money they spent. Because listen, if they knew they would have won this by, I think they won it by 12 percentage points after everything was said and done. Would they have spent that amount of money? No, they would have held on a lot more. They would have spent a lot of money, but they would have held some of it for other races down the road. But in the 2025 Wisconsin Supreme Court race, the Democrat-backed candidate Susan Crawford and her supporting group spent a significant amount of money. The exact figures across the spectrum, and this is as per April 1st of 2025, based on available data. Crawford's campaign itself spent $22 million. This is a Supreme Court justice. Her campaign needed to spend $22 million to hold this race, with some estimates suggesting it reached as high as $25 million by the election's end. Additionally, the Wisconsin Democrat Party contributed approximately $10 million to her campaign, bolstered by donations from prominent liberal mega donors. And again, you'll hear about Elon Musk a lot, but they don't talk about the other side of that. And again, they both did. Elon Musk did indeed throw his money into this race, as he's allowed to do, just like these people are allowed to do. But just don't say one side did it. Well, the mega donors on the Democrat side were George Soros, who threw $2 million at this. The Illinois governor, J.P. Pritzker, $1.5 million. And Reid Hoffman, $250,000. Independent groups supporting Crawford, such as Better Wisconsin Together, added at least $6.2 million in expenditures. So, again, $90 million in total was a rough estimate of what they spent based on the numbers that are out there, and that could fluctuate. I would contest that the Republicans did spend anywhere from $5 to $8 million more than Democrats did, but when they're both spending between $40 and $45 million on this race, it just goes to show how important this race was as far as the fear of redistricting congressional districts. That was the part of this. As far as the decisions that this judge or this panel of judges, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, may make, really has no bearing on you and I. Yes, it'll set precedent, but a lot of state Supreme Courts set their own precedent. So there was no change here. This was a liberal majority court panel to begin with. It stayed that, and that's pretty much where it is. So It's simply election time happening. And if you look at the spin that both sides have done, I don't see how this is a referendum on anything. This is just that area. Now, it's a purple area that has leaned left when it comes to their Supreme Court. And it is what it is. Like I've said from the start, listen, if this administration does not show results, they are going to start to lose the support that they have. They are going to start to lose the support of people who said, hey, things have been bad the past four years with inflation and everything that's going on, the lack of leadership from the administration and the White House over the past 4 years. We want a different path. Now, if this administration does not follow through, and a big part of that, a big reason is why I want to bring to you the Rose Garden address today on tariffs, this event that's going on today at 4 o'clock. I blocked out this hour to bring it to you live because I want to hear what has to be said, and I believe you want to hear on either party what needs to be said at this, what's going to be said, because we don't truly know the impacts. And if it starts hurting the American people in the long term, well, they're going to pay the consequences at the ballot box. That's no doubt. That's just the way politics works. That's just the way people work. People wanted a change, and if they don't start seeing and feeling that change, not just seeing, not just being told, but feeling that change, the voters will take it out on the in-power administration. That's just the way history works. That's just the way it always has been. And if you look back at elections here, when you have a political party that's in power, there's usually a swing the other way during the next election. So will that happen? Will it not happen? We'll see. I think we learned a bigger lesson here in Pennsylvania, that red district in Lancaster County that we did lose simply because Republicans stayed home, simply because they got complacent. They didn't turn out to vote. They did not come out in the numbers they needed to come out. There is no reason for that. So I would point to that race, the pure complacency that we saw in Lancaster County, as way worse than anything we saw in the two Republican wins down in Florida, because those were already red districts, and this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. That should be looked at more. That should be more of a lesson to the Republican Party. That should be more of a lesson to conservatives, because listen, when that happened, I told you that you had members like AOC pointing out, this is how we win, pointing out a Pennsylvania red district race that was lost purely on complacency. It's not that there was a better candidate. It's not people that were so pissed off at the current administration they wanted change. People just did not show up to that special election. That's what happened in Lancaster. It's already been dissected by political parties on both sides, and both sides have admitted it's simply because Republicans did not turn out. Why? Are they complacent? Did they say, hey, we have the House, we have the Senate, we have the administration, I don't really need to do anything extra right now. I'm too busy right now. I can't make it out to that. That's what hurt us more than anything in any race you saw yesterday. Yes, was it an important race? It was. That's why both sides spent so much money on it. Was it the end all? No, we didn't lose or gain anything. We could have gained if we won that seat, but we didn't lose or gain because it was already a liberal majority on that side. It's 3:21 here at WILK. Time for the NEPA Premium Perks. What do we got today? Enjoy this half-off deal for Izzy's Pizza. Get a $25 gift certificate for only $12.50. NEPA's first make-your-own pizzeria. Pizza lovers can unleash their creativity and craft the perfect pie. A wide array of fresh ingredients and toppings. They also feature wings, soups, sides, and desserts. Open Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Fridays and Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Located at 1610 Naog Avenue, Suite 6 in Scranton. Visit getmyperks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 325, 47 degrees. So the DEP, and we've talked about this before, and I said last week that until the corrections, until the violations become so much to where people stop doing these things, it curtails their bad behavior, it's going to continue. Because fines and fees and violations and having to pay out when you're found doing something wrong is just being written off to the cost of doing business when you're making millions of dollars and being fined tens of thousands of dollars. There's no comparison there. Listen, if you were making $1 million a month, and I'm not saying that this is what they're making, but if you're making $1 million a month, and in order to do that, I'm going to fine you $90,000 a month because you're breaking some rules, would you stop doing what you're doing? No, you wouldn't, because you're still making $910,000. So why would you? Until that flips, until that switches, it's going to continue. Well, the DEP saying they made a mistake when approving Keystone Sanitary Landfill's expansion, the board rules. Massive Phase 3 expansion faced a setback yesterday when the panel of judges ruled that the State Department of Environmental Protection erred on approving the expansion without adequately addressing the leachate or odor issues. The Pennsylvania Environmental Hearing Board remanded the landfill's Phase 3 expansion approval back to the DEP on Tuesday amid a nearly four-year-old legal battle. So this has been going on for 4 years. Status quo, same thing's happening. People are still smelling the same thing. This leachate is still going wherever the hell it goes. You know, we're dealing with it. They're saying, oh, it's not us. You don't know what you're smelling. No, it can't be us. No. So it's been going on for this court. And it just gets kicked back now. And nothing's changed. They're not stopping anything. They're not doing anything. They're just like, well, figure out how you mitigate this. So we waited 4 years for you to make a decision and hold them accountable. And all you do is kick it back and say, well, figure out how you deal with this. And we're just going to let you continue doing business as usual while you're figuring it out. Where is the punishment? Where is the curbs to stop the bad behavior to begin with? Where's the curbs to stop creating these environmental hazards, these quality of life issues for thousands of people that have to live near or drive by this each and every day? Now, the DEP has received and is reviewing the Environmental Hearing Board's ruling today regarding a 2021 decision to approve the Keystone landfill. DEP approved a major permit modification for the landfill's 42.4-year Phase 3 expansion in June of 2021. So now we're what, 4 years into this? And this is supposed to go into 2060? So what, are they going to be halfway or more than that through before they figure it out? And until there's a penalty that cripples them so much to where they sit down at a meeting and say, we need to stop doing what we're doing because we cannot afford this. This is going to continue. They are going to continue to screw the community. They're going to continue to screw the state. They're going to continue to screw everything while they're making money doing it. So either people get tough in the federal agencies, in the state agencies, in the local agencies that deal with this, or just get used to this being a cost of doing business. And if that's the case, let's at least be honest with everybody. Let's say that this landfill is going to pay every municipality around it or every person X amount of dollars because we're going to keep screwing you. We spend millions upon millions of dollars for our state DEP. Either they start doing the right thing by the people, or why do we even pay for them? Because this has continued for 4 years, and all it does now is get kicked back. After they even say, yes, this was done wrong, there's violations here, there's a lot of bad stuff happening, but we're just going to kick it back while you continue to do all that, and while you figure it out. And then we'll look at it again. And by that time, now 10 years has passed. And then we're going to, okay, here's $100,000 in fines. Here's $1 million in fines. Okay, well, over that 10 years, how many millions of dollars did you make? Cost of doing business. It's as simple as that. When are enough people going to say enough, enough? And listen, this was a great work. Grassroots Goods Group Friends for Lackawanna County, which was formed in 2014 to oppose this whole thing. You had, the Sierra Club, who joined Friends of Lackawanna County, and community members who keep logging their complaints. The DEP did come out and validate a lot of those complaints, even after the landfill saying, you people don't know what you're smelling, you don't know what you're hearing, you don't know what you're talking about. Enough's enough. So either they get held accountable or they're not going to. Paying a few $100,000 in fines when you're making millions of dollars, saying you're going to correct 26 corrective actions that seem to never correct anything, and then in the meantime asking to create more pathways for your leachate, more variances to have your power plant transfer your methane where you get money from that as well. I just don't get. But, you know, listen, this is not just Pennsylvania. It's everywhere when it comes to this. But if our DEP is going to be so toothless, then why are we spending all the money we spend on our tax dollars to deal with it? Why do we have these organizations at the county level that are supposed to be helping with this? Why don't we call in the EPA or the feds to take hold here and maybe really hold them accountable? Because until the punishment is so steep that it's going to cripple their business, they're not going to take this seriously. And that's the sad part. It'll just be the cost of doing business. It's 3:32 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic. No, I'm sorry. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:36 here, 47 degrees. What gets me is how an entire state could cower down to two old men. I just don't get it there. But we'll move on because, until it's going to continue as business as usual until the punishment is more severe than the crime. Simple as that. Let's go to the phone now. We have TJ from Wilkes-Barre on election turnout. TJ, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing really, really well. We've got a new event coming out I want to talk to you about. But, yeah, election turnout. I believe that, me being a MAGA Trumpster and all that, Trump inspired us. What Trump did was gave us hope that he was out of the box. He was for the people, and that's why we back him 100%. And I think that we have to all take accountability, including all of us. I'm not going to point fingers at one thing, but we need to have a better plan from our leadership, okay, where we always continuously, all year long, recruit, keep volunteers, educate the volunteers to get out the message continuously on how to vote, where to vote, why mail-in ballots are so important. And we need to get the grassroots and the people, the leadership, and also the elected politicians on the same page. And that's what I'm working at right now. I'm working on doing it's really a management sales, because what we're doing is selling the ideology, America First principles, to the people. And it's a great product. Now what we have to do is recruit salespeople, which are volunteers, to explain our product and then inspire them to vote. And we are lacking with that. The Democrats definitely have a better sales force than us on the ground. We are working on that in NEPA. That's why I switched Luzerne County Republicans to NEPA Republicans. And we're working on it. The one thing I'm not happy with the Lancaster vote. However, that week, the head of our party, Greg Rothman, had an all hands on deck with the chairman throughout Pennsylvania. And he said he took accountability for it. He's going to readdress it. How? I can't wait to see that. I want to be involved with that. I think there's a lot of great people that are being, because we realize that we have to work smarter, harder, and every day. So that's really a positive thing from the party. I hope there's some follow through, because it needs to be. If not, we will fail. And we got to get everybody on the same page working together as one team. Now, what we're doing at NEPA Republicans is on the 12th, Saturday, Passover, noon, at, of course, the Wilkes-Barre Township Fire Hall, where I have 90% of my events there in Redondo's, but this one's going to be at the Wilkes-Barre Township Fire Hall at 150 Watson Street, Wilkes-Barre. We've got grassroots party, and of course the people, which are the most important thing. So I think we're going to really have the biggest turnout ever that I've ever had. I think people are especially after these votes, are going to get involved. Grassroots group, like we have PA Chase, which what they do is they find out who is receiving mail-in ballots, and they have a database to make sure those people actually turn those ballots in. The Luzerne County Republicans, which is NEPA, worked diligently with Alecrim Cabbage because of the misstep. And we got 3,100 mail-in ballots compared to the Democrats' 3,400. If we could do that in every election and everywhere, we'll win every election. So we're going to work really hand-in-hand with our elected officials and Cliff Maloney from PA Chase, okay? We have Convention of States going to be there. Of course, my right-hand man, or I'm his right-hand man, Frank Scavo. He is now the Lackawanna director from NEPA. We actually have a Lackawanna events coordinator, Joe Mayer. She is going out We're getting a tent up in Lackawanna, and she's doing voter registration drives. We're going to teach volunteers how to register people, and we're going to flip Lackawanna County red. I promise you that. We've got Matt Contreras from Pike County coming down. Gina Mikado, she's the Pike County events coordinator. We got Steve Adams, Wayne County chairman of the party, and we've got Becca Barnes, which is she is our in Luzerne County events coordinator, and it's all hands on deck. We're growing. I went up to Monroe County. We're getting some people up there, so we're going to get grassroots all over. Now, who's coming on the 12th that people would like to talk to, shake hands, have questions for, and all that is Greg Rothman, the PA GOP chairman. He's coming. Dan Muser. He supports everybody. He's amazing. I hope he runs for governor. He's coming. Rob Bresnahan, which the last commercial, one of the last commercials, I just couldn't believe the lies that the Democrats say. This man will never, ever, ever stop a person that deserves Medicare getting Medicare. He wants to stop the fraud. But, of course, the left lies, as we all know. So Rob is 100% for Social Security, Medicare. He will never hurt anybody in Northeastern Pennsylvania. He's a great representative for everybody.
TJ, have you ever seen me take apart that commercial? Have you ever heard me when I've taken it? I can't do it every time it's on because they're playing it so much. But I've taken apart that commercial. Save My Care is a fiscally sponsored project of Save My Country Action Fund. Project advocates for far left health care policy, especially defending the Affordable Care Act. Brad Woodhouse is the executive director, has a long work history as executive organizations. He worked for the Democrat National Committee. He worked for the Democrat Senatorial Campaign Committee. He worked as executive director for Protect Our Care and some other organizations and some PACs. Chairman of the Save My Care Act, Leslie Dash, is a former executive director of Protect Our Care. Before that, Dashwood is advisor to Hillary Clinton in 2016. Presidential campaign, served as a counselor to Health and Human Services Department under Barack Obama. In that role, she helped implement Obamacare. So this is a Washington, D.C. think tank that's highly funded by these PACs, probably our own tax dollars being funneled to them as their 401c3 or 4 status is, because they're a mixture of both. It just goes to show it, but they want to make it seem like this is a grassroots effort here. The same guy you hear in that commercial is running every commercial nationwide.
No, two things. Number one, I'm glad that we're getting rid of a lot of stuff through DOGE, because a lot of it is just a flow through to hire people to donate to these PACs. To the PACs, it's like we're paying out of our taxes to pay people to crush our country. It's absurd. It's insane. So I'm really proud of what DOGE is doing and everything. And I wish every politician had about 10% Pinocchio in them. So when they lied, their noses would grow, because it'd be like the Democrats, all noses would be about 3 foot long. You know, it's crazy that politicians can lie. And you were law enforcement. You know, I'm in that system as a bails bondsman. When you lie to a police officer, that's a charge. But if you lie to the public, that's okay. It's nuts. It's like, why can't we hold our elected officials the same accountability as we hold a regular citizen? But anyway, not to go on that subject, but I want to let you know who else is coming. My main man, Alec Rinkavage, of course. I'm the 119th with him. And Jamie Walsh, Dame Wacho. Walter Griffith, the county controller. We got John Lombardo, Stephen Urban, a bunch of councilmen, and there's a lot more people coming. And can I give a thank you to, we got a pig roast coming. That's going to be donated by Billy Abert and his family, and he owns Nightstar Munitions, so we support that 100%. And then the Wilkes-Barre Township Volunteer Fire Company, you know, we NEPA supplied the hot dogs, the pizza, the pierogies, the sodas and all that. They are going to work the party for us for free. They are going to sell beer there. Any proceeds from the beer is going to go to them. So it's a great cause. And they're going to have a 50-50 raffle there for them. So we're going to support firemen in Wilkes-Barre Township And also, we're going to be selling, we got new T-shirts. We're going to be, anybody donates over $20, we're going to give them a free T-shirt. We're going to have some, we're going to have some prizes for Trump dancers. It's going to be a really, really fun event.
It's going to Saturday, be April 12th, right? Saturday, April 12th?
Saturday, April 12th, Passover, noon to whenever it gets done. Speakers are going to be about one. It's not going to be one of those that you're going to sit there and yawn. They're going to talk for 1 or 2 minutes. We're going to mingle. It's a big family. We're going to turn, you know, deeper red. And the big thing is united we stand. We got to stand united with the leadership's got to have good leadership. We got to get great elected officials. We got to get us grassroots that are doing the movement. And we got to keep the people that vote voting and inspired, because it's all about the voters. It's not about me, you, the elected officials. It's not about any chairman. It's about the people. If we put the people first and inspire them to come out and vote, like to say that if you build it, they will come. Feel the dreams? I have a feel the dream of Northeastern PA that we are the party of great values. We are the party of great people running. Are we perfect? No. But we are all working for American values, and most of us, Christian values, and I love it.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this. I feel bad that I'm going to be out of town that week and I miss it. But TJ, make sure you check in next week, either Tuesday or Wednesday before the event, so we can remind people again, because I definitely want to get the word out on this.
If it's okay, I'd like to call Tuesday and then Friday right before. Are you in Friday or no?
I will not be in.
Okay, I'll message you.
All right, sounds good, my friend.
Hey, thank you. Hey, listen, seriously, thank you for all you do. God bless you.
Thank you, TJ. And Saturday, April 12th, it's an event you're going to want to be at if you're in Northeast Pennsylvania. It is 3:47 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:54 here, 47 degrees. We're going to bring the Rose Garden Liberation Day address live as soon as that starts. It's supposed to be just after 4 o'clock or just at 4 o'clock. We'll bring as much of it as we can. But on to the more Pennsylvania news here, as I was specifically told that this doesn't happen. When it does, it's very rare, and it really doesn't have an impact on anything. Well, Pennsylvania officials have pled guilty to election fraud offenses in an effort to steal the election here in Pennsylvania, Millburn Borough, Pennsylvania. Two Pennsylvania borough officials and one former official, so that would be three altogether, but two current officials, pled guilty to election fraud offenses after working to steal a local election. The United States Attorney, David Metcalf, announced that M.D. Nurul Hassan, 48, M.D. Mansour Ali, 48, and M.D. Rafiqul Islam, 52, all of Melbourne, Delaware County, pleaded guilty Tuesday to election fraud offenses. Charges filed in February were related to a conspiracy to commit voter fraud and steal Melbourne Borough's 2021 mayoral election for Hassan through a write-in candidacy. The U.S. Attorney's Office says the defendants conspired and agreed to obtain the use of personal identifying information for non-Melbourne residents to register them to vote without their knowledge. Hassan then used a computer to change voting addresses, and in total, the defendants falsely registered 36 non-Melbourne residents and cast ballots for them in the 2021 general election using mail ballots. See the pattern here, mail-in ballots? Hassan, who served as vice president for the borough council, lost the mayoral election by 27 votes. He pled guilty to 33 charges against him. Ali, also a member of the Melbourne Borough Council, pleaded guilty to all 25 charges against him. Islam, now a former member of the Melbourne Borough Council, pleaded guilty to 7 charges against him. Protecting the integrity of our elections is crucial to ensuring a fair result, as well as the public's continued trust in the process, said U.S. Attorney Metcalf. That's why these cases are a priority for my office and the FBI. Election fraud will not be tolerated in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. The defendants are scheduled to be sentenced on June 18th and face the maximum possible sentence of 5 years in prison for each of the charges to which they have pled guilty. Now, this brings a lot of questions to me. How come the county district attorney did not bring these charges. It was the U.S. Attorney's Office that brought these charges. Doesn't state why. It may have been handed off. It may be very valid reasons. But why wouldn't a Delaware County district attorney deal with this sort of case? And again, on a scale of major voter fraud, no. This, we're talking a few dozen false. But this is a rural area. Milbourne, Delaware County, Pennsylvania. But yet they were able to do it. And thankfully they were caught because, like most criminals, they're not the smartest in the bunch. But if this is happening in a small rural community here in Pennsylvania, you don't think it's happening in other places or other large scales on a larger scale? The fact that they targeted mail-in ballots, the fact that they were able to manipulate and have their own voter registration factory going on. But it's interesting. Glad it's prosecuted. Glad they're being held accountable. Glad the news picked it up. This is coming from ABC 27 WHTM. And it was good to see at least something's getting done. It's being taken seriously. But a couple of questions that I have is why didn't the local DA in Delaware County handle this and it had to be the U.S. attorney? Just a question I have. Let me go to the phone real quick. We have Joe from Kingston on election integrity. Joe, I got about a minute and a half.
All right. First of all, 33, 36, whatever it was, that's not a factory, man. It's a couple of friends that you and I'm not saying it's right. It's not right. But
it's voter fraud by county officials.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And that's what I said.
And they should be tossed in jail. But if we're going to look at it that way, I think if they got caught with 36, 7 point whatever million votes during the 2020 election, should have been picked up and caught. But it wasn't. And, you know, everybody ran with that lie. And they still do. A lot of people still believe. I don't know if you do. I have my thoughts there, but whatever.
Well, what's your thoughts there? Have you heard me say that?
No, but I believe in my heart that you believe in your heart that it was. And that's fine, even if, whatever.
So you're hoping I do. You have no basis to say it whatsoever. All my shows are archived. You go back and tell me where I've won on that rant. But yet you'll sit here and you'll say yes, but you know, I believe you do.
You're a Trumper.
I'm a Trumper now.
You're a Trumper through and through.
Who did I support in the primary?
You don't need to tell me.
Who did I support in the primary? The Republican primary,
Joe. I don't care who you supported.
But I'm a Trumper. Because between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, I voted for Donald Trump.
No, just because you suck the teat every day of Donald Trump.
All right, Joe, we've had enough for you because you can't have a conversation. You want to assimilate and say, oh, this is the way I believe you believe, even though I have no evidence to support it. You're a typical Democrat, Joe. Go somewhere else. It's 4 o'clock here on WILK.